Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor for all that you have planned, Father, to manifest in our lives in the fullness of Christ Jesus. We are privileged, O God, to be a people that you have called out to receive the substance of his fullness. You have called us out, O God, so that we will be created in the substance of the Master's fullness, that we will unfold each one of us as a unique workmanship that you have manifested in the fullness of Christ Jesus. We give you glory and honor, Father, as we look forward to receiving and realizing your word in this reality, O God, of the fullness of Christ Jesus. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will manifest the pure word, O God, into us, Father, that will enable us, O God, to receive the purity of the substance of the fullness of Christ Jesus, that fullness that is communicated in his spirit and his life, that fullness, O God, that opens, O God, according to who you are and all that you are, Father. So let the word that is according to your name be manifested and released into us today. As we look at the word and how the word will communicate the substance of Christ Jesus, enable us to understand all of this, Father, in the reality of the fulfillment of the law, the fulfillment of the prophets, and the fulfillment of the Psalms. Bring forth, O God, the mystery of Christ. Bring forth the mystery of Christ with clarity in our lives, Father, with clarity in our thoughts, our words, our deeds, with clarity in our intents, our attitudes, our desires, our imaginations, with clarity in our objects and our purposes, with clarity in our will and in our emotions, with clarity in our character, our nature, and our personality, in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. Let the fullness of Christ Jesus be communicated into our spirits, our souls, our bodies, into our hearts, and into our minds, that we may truly learn to live the life of Jesus, that we will truly learn to function by being enabled in his spirit that clothes every aspect of our being, Father. So, Lord, as you bring forth a new creation, as you unfold, O God, the intents and desires of your heart over each one of our lives, as you prove, O God, that we are each fearfully and wonderfully made, as you begin, O God, to manifest, O God, the vast thoughts that you have over each one of our lives, we bless you that we are being unveiled in conformance to Christ. We are being unveiled in the fullness of the name of Jesus. We are being unveiled in the Lordship, O God, of Him who must be the Lord of the Sabbath in our hearts, Father. So we ask you, Lord, to continue to release your word in the fullness of Christ Jesus, to bring forth in us a creative work. Let everything that is within us, O God, be enabled to respond and be enabled to receive, O God, of the Master's fullness. So we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will truly move in us and move in our innermost being, Father, to enable us, Holy Spirit, to receive all that the Father has for us in Christ Jesus. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to turn to Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. We did this verse yesterday. I want to look at it again. Today we are going to talk about the subject of the Word of God communicating the substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ. How does this come forth? And what's the background to this? So we're going to start with a verse that is written in the book of Jeremiah. And this is what the prophet writes. Thy words were found, and I ate them. And thy words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I have been called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Amen. Thy words were found, and I ate them. And thy words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. Praise the Lord. The word of God has purpose. Right? And yesterday we said that the fulfillment of this word, of this verse, is found in the fullness of Jesus Christ. And we talked about that yesterday. Today we want to talk about the word that communicates the substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And as you understand the word of God in the realities of the fullness of Jesus Christ, you will begin to understand that there is something that stands behind all of the Word of God. There is something that stands behind all of the Word of God. Here, in this place, In this verse, Jeremiah is telling us that he ate the word of God. He consumed the word of God. Right? He found the words of God and he ate them. He made them a part of his being. As you would physically eat food, he took hold of the words of God and he made them a part of his being. He made them a part of his being. Right? He probably meditated it. He probably desired it. He probably received it. He probably articulated it. He probably lived it. Right? And in all of these realities, it was like as if physical food is eaten and it becomes part of your own being. It becomes part of your body. Are you with me? Becomes part of your body. In that same process, in a similar sort of process, he's talking about God's word having the potential of doing that in your life. Right? He's bringing that forth and says that that is the reality in which God's word stands in my life. And what results from that is joy, and that he takes delight in the word of God. All right? His heart is full of joy and his heart has taken delight. All right? So you find that there is something in that word that he took, right? He took and partook of it, and the result of that word was to produce a reality of joy and delight in his heart. Are you listening? So in that verse, God is telling us, right, of what his word can bring forth in us. Now yesterday we talked about that reality of joy and delight being defined by Jesus Christ himself, right? We talked about the joy of the Lord being our strength. And we said that the fullness of Jesus Christ, the substance of his fullness manifesting in us, right, enables us to have a joy, right? A joy and a strength that will give us joy rather, right? We also talked about Isaiah chapter 11 verse 3, where it's read that Jesus Christ will take delight in the fear of the Lord. Right? And we said that the delight that he's talking about here is the delight of the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is one of the attributes of the Spirit of Christ. Having said that, now let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. This is Jesus answering the devil, and this is what he says. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In the natural, man lives by bread. And in the natural, a man needs bread in order to live, for his physical body to live. But Jesus Christ points to a higher reality, and he says that every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God enables a man to live. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is the rhema of God that enables the human being to find the life that comes from God. The life that brings into him the fullness that God has for him or her. Right? So it is the word of God that manifests. Right? It is the word of God that manifests life. It is the word of God that brings into us the reality of a quality of life that will truly be a blessing to us. Right? So remember this. But man shall live on every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We talked about substance yesterday. Today we want to talk about how substance is communicated through the word of God. And substance is communicated through the word of God through this Greek word called rhema. Right? Rhema. All right? What happens with rhema word? Rhema word is the word that comes to us as a living testimony of Jesus. It is the testimony of Jesus being brought alive to us through the rhema word. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And this is the verse in which we used to unveil the word called hypostasis. Remember that? Hypostasis, substance. Right? And we said that in this verse, in the three translations of the Bible, the NIV, the NASB, and the New King James Version or the Old King James Version, we found that the word hypostasis is described as being of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Of the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the being of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So having that in mind, let me just read this from the New American Standard. And He, that is Jesus, is the radiance of His glory, the Father's glory, and the exact representation of His hypostasis, nature, here. In your New King James Bible, it would be person. And if you have an NIV, it will be being. All right? And the words leading to that will also be slightly different, okay? And upholds all things by the rhema of His power, right? So Jesus Christ, who is the radiance of the Father's glory, who is the exact representation of the Father's hypostasis, nature, right? Who is the exact representation of the Father's nature. Let me just read that from the New King James as well. And the express image of His hypostasis, person, right? Being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the rhema of His power. By the rhema of His power, okay? So we have taken the word substance and we have said that that word substance breaks up into three realities that derive from Jesus Christ to us. The substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ is given to us. Now the substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ unveils to us from the reality of His person, His being, and His nature. And in that substance of His fullness, He upholds all things by the rhema of His power. Are you listening? So the rhema of His power is the means by which God will communicate all things consistent with the fullness of Jesus Christ. All things consistent with who Jesus Christ is. Or to put it another way, consistent with who He is, Jesus Christ upholds all things by the word of His power because the substance that He carries, the substance of His being, the substance of His nature, the substance of His person, is of a stature so that it can stand and hold all that God has to fulfill in the creation. So He upholds all things by the word of His power, and all things that He upholds is going to be unveiled as the substance of His fullness is communicated to us through the Rhema word. Are you listening? And the substance of His fullness unveils to us a new life. Right? And that new life comes to us in a new creation. So Ephesians 2:10 says, you are created in Christ Jesus, the workmanship of the living God. Are you listening? For good works ordained from the foundations of the earth. All right? So in order to bring forth that new work or the good work that God has, we have to receive of the substance that is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And as we receive of the substance of Jesus Christ, we are created in Him. And that substance is a reflection of His person, His nature, and His being. And that substance is manifested into you and me on a subordinate plane, on a dependent plane, on a derivative plane. Are you listening? But the means by which that substance is communicated is through Rhema, and Rhema carries the power that was invested in Jesus Christ when God raised Him from the dead, because the Greek word for power there is dunamis. And dunamis power is the power that was released in raising Jesus Christ from the dead and seating Him at the right hand of the Father. Far above every principality, power, might, and dominion. We are quoting from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Are you listening? All right. So this dunamis power comes through the Rhema word. But the dunamis power that is communicated through the Rhema word has the purpose of manifesting the substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Because without substance, there cannot be correct definition. If you're an engineer, you will understand how important substance is. Because if you don't define the right things, nothing right is going to come out of that. Are you with me? You have to specify the right things. How does God specify truth to us? He specifies truth to us in the substance of the Lord Jesus' fullness. The fullness of His character, His nature, the fullness of His person, His being. Are you listening? So that substance of His fullness is communicated to us through Rhema word. Are you listening? Okay, so Jesus upholds all things by the Rhema of His power. That's the position that God has invested in the name of Jesus. Listening? All right, I hope you listen to this tape a few times. You need to get this into your spirit, man. You see, once you understand this reality, you will no longer attempt to do things in your own strength because you realize that it's not going to work. It's not of the will of God. See, God wants us to discover what He has given us in Christ Jesus. God wants the entire Christian church to understand that our purpose and our calling is to unveil Jesus Christ through the specifics of the calling that is upon our lives. Not to do things in our own strength. We have been doing that for almost 2,000 years. And it's time for us to understand that it does not work. We have found many substitutes for Jesus Christ, and they all sound like very good principles. But like the Jews discovered, you cannot live by a law. You cannot live by a principle that is a recast version of the law either. We have to learn how to live through Jesus Christ. We have to learn how to live in Christ Jesus. We have to learn how to live by Christ Jesus. And we have to learn how to live for Him. Amen. We have to learn how to live for the glory of His name. So Jesus Christ upholds all things by the Rhema of His power. And the intent of the Rhema of His power is to manifest the substance of His fullness that will define all things according to the Father's will. Make sense, guys? Right? Okay. The Rhema of His power. Right? Upholds all things by the Rhema of His power. Now let's turn to John 6:63. John chapter 6 verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. You see, all that we are talking about can only be brought forth into us by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. It cannot be brought forth by the intellect of man. So you need to understand that what is brought forth by the Spirit into us becomes life. It is a manifestation of the righteousness of God. It is the manifestation of the act of God. It's a manifestation of the work of God. It's a manifestation of what God is able to do. And what God is able to do is always His righteousness. Are you listening? So it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. The words that I have spoken to you, my words to you, are spirit and life. Jesus Christ is defining something for us. He is defining His testimony, and His testimony are His words. And He says, my words to you are spirit and life. Since they are His words, they are a communication of His Spirit and His life. So His Spirit and His life is the means by which Jesus communicates, right? Or rather, God communicates the substance of Jesus' fullness. Are you listening? Jesus upholds all things by the word of His power, by the Rhema of His power. The Greek word for words in John 6:63 is also rhema. My rhema to you is spirit and life. So the rhema by which He upholds all things with His power is manifested to us in His Spirit and His life. And underlying that reality of manifesting or receiving the Rhema word is this communication of the substance of His fullness. So if you read this passage in context from John 6:48, you find Jesus begins by saying, "I am the bread of life." So what is He talking about? He's talking about the substance of His fullness. Let's read verse 51. "I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is My flesh." I am the living bread. This bread, right, is given for the life of the world. This bread is My flesh. And then He goes on to talk about that. And then He ends up in John 6:63 saying, "My words to you are spirit and life." So He's saying, I'm talking about the substance of My fullness, but the words that communicate the substance of My fullness, the words that communicate the bread of life, the words that communicate this living bread, is unveiled to you in My spirit and My life. Are you listening? It's very important that you understand that. That the substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ, the substance of your creation in Christ Jesus, can only come to you through Rhema word. And that Rhema is strictly defined in the spirit and life of Jesus Christ. No Jesus, no new creation. No Jesus, no change. No Jesus, no process of salvation. No Jesus, no process of transformation. No Jesus, no renewal, no regeneration. No Jesus, no blessings from God. No Jesus, no promises from God. Because everything has to be defined in the substance of His fullness. Otherwise it will fall. That's why Jesus said, "I am the truth." I am is the name of God revealed to us in Christ Jesus. I am is the bread of life. I am is a reality that is of His fullness, a reality of His person, His nature, His being. And I am is the bread of life. And that bread of life is the substance of His fullness, the substance of His person, the substance of His nature, the substance of His being. Unveiled to us in a subordinate realm. Communicated to us so that we can receive and eat of Him. As what Jeremiah said, "I found your words and I ate them. And they became to me a joy and a delight in my heart." We know now that the substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ unveils in us a heart of flesh. That flesh is of the fullness of Christ Jesus. That's why He says, right, "I am the living bread. This living bread that I give you is My flesh." It is of who I am. It is of the I am of My name. Are you listening? Right? And the I am of His name is an expression of His being, of His person, of His nature. Are you listening? All right? And that expression of His being, His nature, and His person is being brought alive to us through the communication of His spirit in His life, through His words, through the testimony of Jesus. Are you listening? And it's being manifested into a heart of flesh. Remember Ezekiel 36. "I will give you a new heart, I will give you a new spirit." Ezekiel 36, verse 26, right? Verse 25 says, "I will sprinkle you with clean water and wash you from all of your filthiness, from all of your idolatry." Verse 26 says, "I will give you a new spirit, I'll give you a new heart." Right? "I will remove the heart of stone that is within you, and I will give you a heart of flesh." I will give you a heart of flesh. I'm paraphrasing, right? But it's all there. "I will put My spirit within you," verse 27, "and cause you to walk in My statutes." How will He cause us to walk in His statutes? Because of the substance that is being communicated into us, He can cause us to become what we are not in ourselves. He can cause our free will to change. He can cause us to have a different thought process. He can cause us to have a different character. He can cause us to have a different nature. He can cause us to have a totally different outlook. He can cause us to come forth in the image and fullness of Christ Jesus. Are you listening? And it's because of the communications of this word substance. And this word substance is communicated through the word that comes to us as the testimony of Jesus. So how does the word of God come to us as the testimony of Jesus? What is the testimony of Jesus for? The testimony of Jesus is the fulfillment of the word. Jesus came to fulfill the word. Jesus came to ignite that reality by which the word of God could become a fulfilled reality. And it can become a fulfilled reality through the substance of his fullness. And it can become a fulfilled reality in us through the communication of his spirit and his life. Are you listening? Two important words are being manifested here. Spirit to enable you, and life for you to live what has been enabled into you. It is pointless having something that you cannot live. It is pointless knowing something that you cannot live. So God has the purpose in Christ Jesus to bring into us that which will enable us to live. And what will enable us to live is the fullness of Jesus Christ. Are you listening? You will begin to understand this as we grow into the next module, which is module 6, when we start talking about salvation. And we will take this word substance and we will expand it in terms of the practical realities inside of it. All right? And you will understand this more clearly. But today I just want to talk about the word that comes to you in the testimony of Jesus. The word of God has to be communicated to you in the testimony of Jesus. What do I mean by that? You read the law. That law has to be communicated to you through the testimony of Jesus. Because when the law is communicated through the testimony of Jesus, it's going to be communicated in its fulfilled form. So under the law, there was a Sabbath. And that Sabbath was stipulated as one day in a week. And the children of Israel were commanded to rest on that day, and on that day, dedicate all things to the Lord their God. But we know that through Jesus Christ, that the actual rest is being brought into us in fulfilled terms. We are learning how to rest in God. And as we learn how to rest in God, we have a greater and greater dependence on Him. There is a greater and greater reality of the greatness of God being manifested within us so that we can rest in Him and no longer struggle in our own flesh. We are learning how to live by God, and living by God is a rest. Right? So under the law, it was a day. In the fulfillment of the law, it becomes part and parcel of your being. Jesus becomes the Lord of the Sabbath within you. His authority and His power has brought into you a reality that enables you and me to rest in God. Right? If you just read the Old Testament and you say we must keep the Sabbath holy, you will never enter that reality. You can only see the reality that is in the law if you look at who Jesus Christ is and what He can bring into your life through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And when the substance and fullness of Jesus Christ can be communicated to you through His Spirit and His life, there is an entirely new form of life being brought forth into you. There's an entirely new reality of things being brought forth into you. And you can then learn how to rest in God. That reality is defined in the faith and love of Jesus for you. And you realize that there is a new life for you. And this new life is something you have to bring forth and express through your life. When you are prepared to communicate that reality to somebody else, that is ministry. Are you listening? So let's take something simpler. The law says thou shalt not steal. So you attempt not to steal. But you realize that it all has its limitations. Right? What about stealing somebody else's opportunities? Right? Are you listening? All right. What about living selfishly for yourself? Hello, everything in the world is a limited thing, isn't it? So we who are more talented, we take what we can. And what happens to those who do not have the talent? They are robbed of what they could have. Have you ever thought of thievery like that? That the rich countries can rob the poor countries? Right? That while there's someone else somewhere in the world paying $200 for a dinner, there's somebody else somewhere else who can't even pay 10 cents for a meal. Isn't that not thievery? So thou shalt not steal. Right? Has got very, very major implications. Right? So, how is the reality of not stealing manifested? It comes into us in a nature that is of Jesus Christ. And that nature of Jesus Christ does not steal. What happens when you don't steal? You are satisfied with what you have. You don't look for things that are not necessary. Hello. You use the excess as a blessing to others. Hello. You use the excess as a blessing to others. You don't just acquire things for your own self anymore. You use your talents as a blessing for somebody else. You don't just acquire things. You don't need gold-plated taps. You don't need 5 Mercedes Benzes parked under your bed. You can't drive all 5 cars at the same time. You don't need 75 houses in your name. Right? There's a lot you can employ for the expansion of the kingdom. There's a lot that you can employ for the glory of God. But for that to happen, there has to be a brand new thinking inside of you. There has to be a brand new nature. You have to be manifested in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. Now, if you are in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ, all this will come to you as second nature. You won't even have to think about this. Oh my goodness, have I got to give somebody everything? Hello. What does it mean you shall love your neighbor as yourself? All right. So you see, if you just read the law, there is some level of righteousness that exists in the law. But it never achieves the kind of reality that God really wants. That reality came and it was expressed to us in the life of Jesus. He came and he actually lived that kind of life. He actually came and gave himself unto others. He actually came and manifested himself as a living sacrifice for us. And the reality of his sacrifice is living and growing in each one of our lives. And as his sacrifice is received and realized in us, in the substance of his fullness, we are being changed. We are being transformed. We are receiving a new character and a new nature. And the things that we thought we had to have 5 years ago and 10 years ago are no longer necessary for us. Hello. We don't have to pander to our egos and our super egos anymore. We can live actual, genuine, simple lives. And it comes naturally. It comes with the territory, provided the territory is described in Christ Jesus. And if something is described in Christ Jesus, it is no problem to change. Are you listening? So Rhema word has the intent of explaining all things in the Word of God through the Spirit and life of Jesus. And the Spirit and life of Jesus is a communication of his faith and his love. It's a communication of his character. It's a communication of his thinking. It's a communication of his nature. It's a communication of his being. It's a communication of his personality. It's a communication of his person. Are you listening? You see, when the Spirit and life of Jesus Christ is being expressed into you, all of the fullness of Christ Jesus is inside of that. And the Word of God brings the specifics in that Word into your life. Thou shalt not steal. In the reality of not stealing, Jesus Christ manifested something that is of his person, his nature, his character, something of his personality, something of his thinking. Right? Can you see that? Right? It's all inside that word. That word, thou shalt not steal, is not a word that exists in a vacuum. In the life of Jesus Christ, it exists in the testimony of that person called Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the blueprint for a new creation. Right? And that blueprint for a new creation stands in his person, his nature, his personality, his character, his desires. So the word stealing is very intimate to who he is in his person and his being. Can you understand that? It doesn't exist in an intellectual vacuum. It is tied to him. It is explained in him. It is explained through his life. It is explained through his sacrifice. It is explained through everything that comes forth in his fullness. It is in his fullness that this word, do not steal, is defined. Thou shalt not covet, same sort of thing. Jesus did not covet. And he proved that by giving himself entirely on a cross for each and every one of us. Jesus went to the cross for each and every one of us. And everything that he did on the cross is available to each and every one of us. Nothing is held back. There is no covetousness. There is no me, I, me, and mine. Everything of his fullness he gave. Are you listening? Praise the Lord. So you realize that the reality thou shalt not covet can only come to us through the spirit and life of Jesus. It has to be of Jesus. It cannot be of a concept. It cannot be the spirit of a concept. It cannot be the spirit of a theology. It has to be the spirit of the Master himself. Because he came and he practically lived that life. He practically fulfilled that life. He practically manifested that life. He testified of that reality of not coveting through everything that he described in his being, in all that he did in thought, word, and in deed. Are you listening? So do you realize that if you and I can receive something of the fullness of Jesus Christ, that which we receive will bring into us a desire also not to covet. I repeat that. A desire not to covet. Not a principle not to covet. An actual desire not to covet. That is the solution to sin. I do not desire to sin. I don't want to sin. I hate to sin. That's the only way we are not going to sin. And I enjoy not sinning. Hello. I enjoy not sinning. I take delight in not coveting. Right? And all that has to come to us defined in the character and nature of Jesus Christ. All that has to come out of his testimony. Are you listening? So every word, words like love, words like life, everything has to be defined in Jesus Christ. Words like righteousness, they have no meaning without Jesus Christ. Because his life was a life lived in righteousness, where God was his God. It was a life where he discovered that God was his provider. So the reality of God being our provider has to come to us through Jesus Christ. It does not exist in a concept that God provides for us in some intellectual vacuum. God provides for us is a reality Jesus defined in his life. And he demonstrates that very powerfully when he pays his taxes by having someone catch a fish. And in that fish was the gold coin that paid the tax. Are you listening? Now that reality of being able to live in God and by God and through God, all that comes from Jesus Christ. And you must understand that all this is possible for us to receive and realize because all of these realities are described in the substance of his fullness. Do you realize that the substance of his fullness is all that he manifested in living his life, in expressing his being, in expressing His personality, in expressing His character, in expressing His nature, in expressing His thoughts, in expressing His desires, in expressing His attitudes, in expressing His actions. He didn't just do miracles in a vacuum. He did miracles with the intent of purely glorifying His God. He didn't just do a miracle. What stood behind the miracle was this miracle was done for the glory of God. This miracle was done to fulfill God's purpose. This miracle was done purely so that people could see God and not the superstar. And so you realize that in Jesus Christ, right, everything in the scripture is defined. That's why the Bible says that His fullness is to fill all in all. And His fullness is to fill all in all in substance that is going to be communicated through His body. That's you and me. It is our job to unveil the testimony of Jesus. It is our job to communicate the testimony of Jesus. It is our job to receive and realize the testimony of Jesus. It is so important that the church understand that. Because so much of what we do is just an expression of our own brilliance, our own desires, our own righteousness, our own intents. It is just an expression of our organizational capabilities. It is an expression of strategic management, strategic thinking, strategic whatever. It is like a mighty corporation called the church trying to run things the way intelligent leaders think how it should be run. And all this has to come to an end. We have to start doing all things in the name of Jesus. Because we are not doing anything in our own names. We're just kidding ourselves. Remember, there have been points in history, centuries, where the church held all political power, all economic power, effectively. And all that was manifested in all that was utter corruption. So we've got to learn something. The lesson to be learned there is not to blame some organization in history or some denomination in history. The lesson to be learned there is that which is not done in the name of Jesus will always be a defilement. That which is not of the substance of the Master's fullness will always be a curse. And we have to learn how to do things differently. We have to allow the Master's fullness to come alive in us by the Holy Spirit. We must allow the spirit and life of Jesus Christ to flow forth. We must be instruments for the release of the Rhema of God so that the power of God can be realized. And we are the instruments in which that power is going to be manifested. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. You see, the power must work within us. The dunamis power of Jesus Christ has to come alive in us. How is the dunamis power of Jesus Christ going to come alive in us? Through the Word. It is through the Word that God is saying, I will do beyond all that you ask or even think. But it will only be according to the power that you have realized through my word. And that power must be working inside of you. The Greek word for that word power being worked, the Greek word for work is the Greek word that has that is the root of our English word energy. I think it is either energios or energies, right? One of those root words. All right? And it talks about energizing the power of God. Are you with me? And you can only energize the power of God by the Holy Spirit. So the substance of the Master's fullness has to be unveiled through His body. We are His body. It is time for us to know that and understand that and give expression to that. Are you listening? It is not doing what appears to be great. It is doing that which is conformed to Christ Jesus. It is truly unveiling in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth the witness of the Master, the witness of the Savior, the witness of the Healer. It is not just healing somebody, it is manifesting the witness of the Healer. Are you listening? It is not just turning water into wine. It is manifesting the power of Him who stands in the reality of what that water being turned into wine represents. It is about the life of Jesus. It is about the transforming power of His love. It's about the transforming power of His sacrifice. That is how the water became wine. Water, the Word of God. Wine, life. That's what we are called to discover. That's what needs to be released into the atmosphere of the earth. That's why Jesus said, "Lift up my name, and I will draw all men to me." Hello? So often it is the name of men being lifted up. So often people go to a meeting because so and so is speaking. Hello? Why do we need our photographs on brochures? Why do people have to recognize us by face? Why can't we just put a cross on there and say, "Come and hear the voice of the Lord. Come and hear what Jesus can do in your life." Why don't we learn how to release the power of the fullness of Jesus Christ rather than just operate an anointing? Are you listening, brethren? Some serious rethinking needs to be done in the Christian church. We need to unveil the testimony of Jesus. We need to have Him come forth through the words we speak, through the actions that we undertake. We need to focus on how to glorify Him. We need to communicate the name of Jesus. When we preach, when we worship, when we pray, it all must come forth in the name of Jesus. Everything that we do in thought, word, and in deed must give expression to the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now all these come to us by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. They come to us as the substance of His fullness is worked into us. If you can receive the Word of God and understand the Word of God in the testimony of Jesus, everything in your life will be transformed. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God is of the Spirit and life of Jesus. Every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God is of the faith and love of Jesus. Every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God is expressing the personality, the character, the nature of Jesus Christ. It is communicating a reality of Him. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So Jesus brings into us a host of fulfillment. The Word of God will be written on your heart. The laws of God will be put on your heart. You will come to know the Lord your God. You will come to belong to the Lord your God. Do you realize that all that is going to happen? It was all written in the Word of God. It is all written in the Old Testament. It is written under the law. It is written under the prophets. It is expressed in yearning in the Psalms. And it all is going to be manifested in the substance of the Master's fullness. You and I can be all that God wants us to be, because all it takes is for us to receive something of the Master's fullness. Amen. So there is something that God wants to leave with you today. He wants you to learn how to think through Christ Jesus. And when you learn how to think and act and behave through Christ Jesus, there is something of His fullness that will start being perfected and completed inside of you. Hello? You understand this when you look and you study the Jewish feasts. If you look at the Jewish calendar, the entire calendar, the daily calendar, the weekly calendar, the monthly calendar, the calendar for the year, the calendar of the feasts, everything was characterized by sacrifice. The entire calendar cycle of 50 years was entirely characterized by sacrifice, morning and evening, every day. What is God telling us? That everything for the life of a human being, everything that is going to give meaning to us, everything that is going to give expression to life to us, is going to come out of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. What is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? The expression of His fullness for you and me to live by. The expression of His fullness for you and me to receive. The expression of His fullness so for us to realize. The expression of His fullness so that we can bring it to life. Through our character, our nature, through our thoughts, our words, our deeds, through our intents, our attitudes, our desires, our imaginations, through our objects and our purposes, through our will and our emotions, in our character, in our nature, in our personality, in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms, in spirit, soul, and body, in heart, and in mind. Do you realize all that comes as the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit? All that comes in the substance of the Master's fullness. We only have to receive. We only have to walk into it. Step by step, expecting the Holy Spirit to make the manifestation of the power. Are you listening? Let's turn to John 16, verse 14. It is the Spirit who gives life. And Jesus tells us that very quickly. Very pointedly. Let's read from verse 13 to verse 15. When He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. First thing, the Holy Spirit is there to guide you into all the truth. Now what is this all about? Guiding you into all the truth. What does that involve? Verse 14. He shall glorify me. Right? The Holy Spirit will glorify me. He will make me the treasure of your heart. He will make me the glory of your life. He shall glorify me, for He shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. He shall take of mine that which is of mine. Now we know that that which is of the Lord's is entirely of the substance of His fullness. And He will disclose it to you. He will make it come alive to you. He will reveal it in you. He will perfect it and complete it inside of you. Are you listening? And then Jesus goes on to say, how much depends on us doing that? Verse 15. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that He takes of mine and will disclose it to you. What is the Holy Spirit involved in? Taking all things of the Father that belong to Jesus and bringing it alive to us. All things, not some things. So therefore, the unveiling of the fullness of Christ Jesus is absolutely crucial for the growth of the church. It is absolutely crucial for the testimony of the church. It is absolutely crucial for us to really fulfill the Great Commission. Hello. It is pointless us playing a numbers game. God is not playing a numbers game. He's looking for the heart that belongs to Him. God is not playing a numbers game. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. Verse 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word. Why trembles at my word? Trembles at my word? I don't think there's anyone living on planet Earth today who really understands what it means to tremble at the word of God. Hello. To tremble at the word of God means that through the word of God, the reality of God's greatness comes to us in such a way that it causes us to tremble in awe. And all that can only come forth from the heart of a human being. God wants his church to move into that direction. We can't just be preaching messages of salvation and thinking that that is the task of the church. Be saved. Be saved. What happens to people who hear that sort of message 10 years in the church? They die. There is no light inside of them. Because they are hearing the same thing preached year in and year out. They are not coming alive to a relationship with the living God. What is there to sustain them? What is there to ignite that trembling? What is there to ignite that relationship? Hello? Even looking at miracles becomes a pastime. It no longer strikes a chord anymore. Hello. That's why the law of God demands that you shall love me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Why is the Church of Jesus Christ not teaching that? For us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength is entirely going to be defined in the substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Hello, people come into the church, they must grow. People come into the church, they must grow in a relationship with the Lord. And that relationship is what makes the ministry. So that in everything that we preach and we do, whether we are evangelists, whether we are prophets, whether we are apostles, whether we are prayer warriors, whether we are worshippers, there is always this communication of a relationship with the living God. There is always this communication, whether we are singing a song, whether we are praying a prayer, whether we are standing in the gap and interceding, whether we are preaching a message, whether we are teaching a message, whether we are counseling someone, always there is this inner reality of a living relationship with the living God, an inner reality of a total dependence on the Master to unfold the life that somebody else needs. You see, without a relationship, what ministry are we doing? Without a love for Jesus, what are we telling people? What salvation message are we talking about? What is the meaning of salvation? Is it merely being born again? Or is it about a living and growing relationship with the living one? Is it a reality of living for the glory of God? Hello? That's why the Bible says that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Fear of the Lord and trembling at the word of God. You see, it is all based on a relationship. It is all based on who God is to us. It is not based on organizational strength and organizational merit. It is not based on strength of the balance sheet. It is based on the relationship. That's why when the Lord rebuked the church of Ephesus, he said, you have lost your first love. Why did they lose their first love? They got so immersed in ministry and doing things that they forgot what was the source of what it was all about. They had lost touch with the Master. And you know that Jesus dismissed all the great things that they were doing? Go and read the list. They were doing some excellent stuff and Jesus just dismissed all that. And he said, make sure I don't remove you. See, Jesus went on the cross to purchase a people who will belong to God. Right from the start, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he said, you are a holy people. I have chosen you to be a holy nation. I have chosen you to be a priesthood unto me. I have chosen you to be the people who belong to me. Salvation is about unveiling a people who belong to God. Without that belonging to God, there is no meaning to salvation. Salvation is not just making someone born again, but bringing him into a relationship with the living God where he tastes and sees that the Lord his God, he is good. And that reality causes him to want to serve the Master, to live for him, and to glorify his name. And in that process, that person will receive and realize more and more of the saving grace of God. Without that relationship, what are we building? Hello. Salvation is not just one moment in time when God knocks at the door of your heart. Salvation is a process of coming alive to God. It's a process of unveiling the kingdom of God within you. It's a process of unveiling the kingdom of God amongst us. It is a process of unveiling the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ in us and amongst us. So that everything that we do is for the Master's glory. So that everything that we do as a body of believers is to make sure that the name of Jesus shines through, not my name or your name. It's about his name. It's about the magnificence of who he is. It's about unveiling the treasure of the Lord Jesus Christ from the hearts of men and women, to show them that in Jesus Christ they have a brand new life. They have a brand new tomorrow. They have an awesome destiny. And that destiny is described in the substance of the Master's fullness. It cannot come any other way. It cannot come out of clever thoughts and clever plans and smart strategies. It can only come out of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Please read the Word of God. It is clearly said that his fullness is to fill all in all. That if we are not manifesting his fullness into all in all, we are doing rubbish. Now we may use all the right theologies and the right terminologies and all the right technologies, but if it is not of him, it is not of him. And there's no two ways about that. Because he is no mere principle. So we have to understand that, brethren. So that's why the entire ministry is built in a witness. Where is the word of God? In your mouth and in your heart. And between your mouth and your heart stands the stature of him who wants to reign in you. That witness is to be the witness of him alive in you. It is to be the witness that will enable you to live in him, to live by him, to live through him, and above all, to live for him. And that witness is what God is speaking about. That the substance is to define the quality of that witness. It is that witness that is going to touch the world. It is that witness that we must seek to unveil in our ministries. So that people will not come to us, they will come to the Lord. So that people will not come to our churches, they will come to the Lord. Like people will not owe loyalties to an organization, they will owe their loyalty to the Master himself. There is only one Lord. And all these are so fundamental that have to be relayed in the church. Because so much of what we are doing does not glorify Jesus Christ, although we abundantly use his name. The witness is just not there. The witness is just not there. It is all a bunch of procedures and methods and techniques and organizational capabilities. It's about a great marketing plan. God's marketing plan is lift up the name of Jesus and he will draw all men to his name. God's spheres of influence manifest by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is there to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. The work and ministry of the Holy Spirit is to manifest the fullness of Jesus Christ. Brethren, it is time that people see Jesus through his body. The responsibility for that starts with you and me. We cannot do anything for other people, but we can certainly do things with our own life. Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor for the span and intent, O God, of your word. And we realize, O God, that all of the word of God has to be explained to us in the testimony of Jesus. All of the word of God has to come to us in the spirit and life of Jesus. And all that is communicated in the spirit and life of Jesus is to be of his fullness. The fullness that stands in his person, the fullness that stands in his character, the fullness that stands in his nature, the fullness that stands in his being. The fullness, O God, that unveils, O God, through everything that he did in thought, word, and in deed. Every intent and purpose and desire of his heart. All that needs to come forth in each one of us as we realize our position of being members, living members of the body of Christ. Each one of us a tabernacle in the making, Father. Each one of us a tabernacle of ministry, Father. Each one of us called forth to unveil a calling that will be a blessing to the nations. And the intent and purpose, O God, of your plan in each one of our lives is awesome. It is eternal, Father. And so as you create us in Christ Jesus, as you bring us forth by the Holy Spirit, as you unveil us in the kind intentions of your will, Father, bless the church that we will truly unveil Jesus, who is the blessing. For there can be no other blessing except the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus being unveiled as the blessing can only come forth through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. So that we may enter into all that you have for us, O God, in Christ Jesus. So unveil to us, O God, the substance of his fullness. That he will be to us the be-all and end-all of life, Lord. While all this may seem to be overwhelming to us, Father, we know it is all possible because we are called to receive of the substance of his fullness. And as the Holy Spirit works the substance of his fullness into us, the changes will come. The transformation will come. The renewal will surely come. The regeneration will surely come. The creation will surely come. We will be transformed. We will be redeemed. We will, O God, see the fulfillment of our salvation. And we give you glory, Father, that all this is our destiny. All this, O God, is our testimony. So we bless you that the testimony of Jesus is being unveiled as a living epistle through each one of us. And we will indeed manifest it by your grace and your mercy. We will surely manifest it because of the power that stands invested in the name of Jesus. We receive that power, the power of his love, the power of his faith, the power, O God, of all that he has given us through his sacrifice on the cross. We receive and we pray that you bless us, Father, that we may be a blessing to you in everything that we become. In thought, word, and in deed. In Jesus' name, amen.